information within the Health Forum is intended for reference only. Never begin a dietary, exercise, or other kind of healthcare program without consulting a qualified healthcare professional first. The Health Forum on Star Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Health Forum on Star Radio. My name is Rachel Orchard, and I specialise in nutrition and advice. And joining me on the show today is the lovely Thierry Clerc, who specialises in homeopathy.
Hello, Rachel.
And also joining me is the fantastic Will Prideaux-Brune, who is a personal trainer.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for having me again.
Here at the Health Forum, we are all about sharing our experiences to help you. And on the show tonight, we'll be answering a listener's question, delving into the topic of health in the workplace, and our health panel will be giving you a top tip for the week. So we've got a lot to get through. Let's get on with it.
You're listening to the Health Forum on Star Radio.
So this is the great part of the show where we answer one of your questions. And this week, we actually have a question from Rebecca in Histon.
Hi, my name is Rebecca, and I'm training for the Cambridge Half Marathon that's happening in March. And I was wondering what advice you could give me.
So guys, with the question from Rebecca, how would you like to answer that? Would you like to go first, Will?
Hi, Rebecca. Lovely to hear from you, and great stuff. You're running the half marathon. Things that are going to help you, especially now at the moment, it's really cold. I would suggest really well good warming up. And that's going to be really important. The cold weather's going to affect your body a lot. We need to make sure your joints are all mobilised and your muscles are all ready for the exercise, because the last thing you want to do is create any injuries before you actually hit the marathon itself. As it comes to running itself, what you want to do is set yourself a programme. There are lots of good programmes online. If you Google any marathon running, you'll see programmes. But the general gist of them is to slowly build up your miles. Don't try and flog yourself every single run. My advice is to have one big long run a week. So you want to do a big run a week, and then the second run you want to be doing is perhaps a little bit shorter, but it gives you a chance to work on perhaps a little bit faster, but working interval training, so maybe a bit slow at one point, a bit faster at the other. And then third run a week, make it a shorter run where you can really push yourself for a short distance, because what you want to be doing is training your body to handle different sort of levels of exercise. And that way, as you go on through your training program, you can gradually increase all of those, and that's going to give you a real chance to, when it comes to I believe it's March the 10th, Mother's Day, you're going to be hitting the road running and you're going to have a fantastic time. So that'll be my advice.
It's great advice, Phil, but what else would you say? Because I know when I've trained before and I've run long distances, it gets quite boring. Is it good for people to run together, or maybe have some music on while they're running, or what would you advise?
Both of those are brilliant advices. I actually happen to know that the marathon itself is not allowing people to have headphones in. So whilst you want to train with music, great, you've got to be prepared for the fact that on the day you're not going to be listening to music. So you may want to think about that. I tell you what I like doing when I run. I'm a big believer in interval training. So thinking of, for example, for two minutes, I'm going to run a faster pace and for 2 minutes at a slower pace. You can get various ways of doing this. There's loads of apps on iPhones. If you have them, just using your watch. But what this will mean is, instead of looking at the macro, the big, massive, I've got a long run, say running for an hour, you're starting to look at smaller chunks. And that means you're starting to have smaller ways you can break the run down. So you know you've got 2 minutes slower pace, but you've got in your mind, here I'm coming up, the faster pace is coming. And then you go for your faster pace and you go, I'm pushing myself hard. And then you know that you're going to have your downtime, your rest pace for another 2 minutes. I find doing that, rather than just keeping the same pace the entire time, makes a long distance running far more manageable for myself.
And also maybe timing yourself so you can see that your timing's going down, so you're getting maybe faster and you're feeling better after each run.
Absolutely. Obviously, timing's almost a given. I think the one thing I find about timings is it's great at the end. To be honest, when you're running and you're running for an hour, the end is not what's concerning you, it's at the time. So yes, you're right, timing at the end is going to give you motivation, but I also think it's good to have something while you're running to help you. So you also mentioned running with someone else, and that is possibly the best way to get motivation. If you get a running buddy, someone who will run with you, push you when you're down, but otherwise also you get a chance to lift them when they're down, because nothing like motivating someone else, I find, to bring out the best in people.
What about yourself, Thierry? What would you say on this subject?
Well, actually, I will be running with Becca, so that's interesting. And the first advice would be that she should not overtake me too quickly in the race. I mean, when you ask the question, actually, I first talk about what Will said about having a program, and that's very important. However, I learned before that it's important to be flexible. If you enjoy yourself, or if you actually feel too tired to run, it's better to skip a few days and miss out your program instead of running, risking having an injury. So make sure to bring some flexibility. Have a plan, but listen to your body. Besides all the exercise, it's also important to understand that the amount of work it requires your body to have to build all these new muscles, but also to eliminate extra fat and so on, is very important. Usually people eat a lot and they should eat a lot. You can find on my website on the nutrition side, and if you go on musculoskeletal, you will have my general advice about what to eat for the musculoskeletal system to reduce injuries. Having said that, the first advice is as much as you wish, as long as you don't feel heavy. If you feel heavy, it's food that is not good for you, and it's better to reduce. Some people tend to reduce meat and dairy. Some people tend to increase more, depending on their food type. And it's very, very important to listen to your body. Drinking a lot of water and sleeping are also key on your training, so make sure you have plenty of that.
I'd agree with that, and following on from that, Thierry, that would have been my one bit of advice. Is it's so important to be eating good food while you are training. Your body requires nutrition and good fuel sources, so an essential vitamin for me is marine omega, especially omega-3, which is very great for protecting, as Thierry was saying, musculoskeletal, but also connective tissue, and it reduces inflammation. It's great for memory focus and brain function, so really go and seek some advice from somebody you know, a good nutritionist, a good homeopath, who can give you some advice on diet, because this will fuel you for your run. Were you going to say something, Will?
Yeah, I was. I'm sort of carrying on with a little bit what Thierry says. I think there's quite a common misconception in the world of how much calories you should be eating. I mean, I think the traditional is 2,000 for ladies and about 2,500 for men. And the problem with that is you're not factoring in, I'm sure Thierry's heard of this, what's called the PAL, which is your physical activity level. That 2,000, 2,500, just taking basic day-to-day living, you're going to be running a half marathon. You've got to factor that in. You've got to realise fuel is important. You've got to up the amount of calories you're eating. Sensible calories, good calories, but if you think your car's going further, you've got to put more petrol in.
Probably Will knows. I remember last year at the Football World Cup, they were saying, or the Rugby World Cup, maybe 5,000 calories for daily for a top professional.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was training, we were doing our nutrition course, and we were discussing actually sort of how many calories people needed, and most people just couldn't believe, if you take into, you know, your count, you know, when you work it out properly, your size, your height, and what you're doing, how much energy the body actually needs. And it does shock people, because I think that, as I said, there is a massive misconception about I only need 2,000 if I'm a girl, 2,500. On the whole, I tend to find it to be a lot more, and I'm sure you say the same. I mean, especially if you're a professional athlete. And that's actually what half marathon people are. You're going from the realms of recreational running, you're signing yourself up to semi-professional distance. It's, you've got to take that nutrition side very seriously.
But I think also following on from that, it's got to be, as we said, good calories. And there's a lot of misconceptions out there with people who'll go to the gym, and then after they've done their workout, they feel really, like, pat themselves on the back, and they go to the cafe bar area and they'll buy themselves a muffin and a cappuccino, and it's all full of sugar and refined foods, and this is no good. This is just going to go straight to storage. So it's got to be readily bioavailable to the person to use. So I think really look into this, go on the website and have a look, or ask us and send a question in, and we'll send you some links, of especially on Thierry's website. Sorry, were you going to say something, Will?
I call it the yin and yang of exercise. People put a lot of good in and then they put the bad straight back in afterwards. I mean, when you exercise, I always think what you've just burnt off, your body's going to take the first thing you put back in. And if you put back a big muffin back in, that's what's going to be going onto your body. You want the good stuff. You want good, you know, good food, healthy. And there's loads of information out there. And, you know, Thierry and yourself, you know, that's your specialisation. Get good stuff in your body. It's going to make you go further.
One side of that question is actually supplementation. So maybe we could cover it. I mean, my big things would be omega-3s, I think, are very, very important. The soluble vitamins, you have two types of vitamins, the fatty vitamins like vitamin E, vitamin A, and they tend to be stored in the body. That's the other one you will find in omega-3. And you have the water soluble like vitamin B that you get in fruit. And this one, when you sweat, you lose a lot. So it may be actually quite good to have a good multi-supplement, high-quality one. I'm sure Rachel will be able to give some advice. And the third one will probably be something to reduce the level of lactic acid, which is produced by the muscles, like nettle supplement or a green vegetable based product, because that tends to help with the body dealing with acidity. I don't know, Rachel, what would be your top sports people nutritional plan?
No, I mean, I agree with everything you said. Just for me, I think to focus on the Merino are good because that's just so vitally important. And then anything from there, I can certainly answer questions. But I think what people need to understand, it's not just about feeding the body fuel, but it's also preventing injury. Because if the body is not receiving that amount of fuel that the muscles and the cells can function, the body will slow down, your reaction will be slower, and that's where people will trip up and they'll overstretch, and that will cause injury ultimately. So this is not only important to keep you going, but to prevent injury. And then also, again, Will, I should imagine stretching before you go, but also, you know, stretching when you come back is going to be another prevention of injury. Thanks for the feedback, guys, and hopefully, Rebecca, that has answered some of your question. But if not, if you've got any further follow-up, then just go on to star107.co.uk.
The Health Forum on Star Radio, sharing our experience to help you.
Right, so this week our topical discussion is actually going to be on bringing health into the workplace, and actually, like what we mentioned last time, redefining health for each individual person and what does health mean to them. Now, where this has started is that the forum ourselves, myself, Thierry, Dr. Stephen and Will, is we've set ourselves a challenge for 2013 with the radio show, and what we want to do is challenge all the corporates and business organisations out there in Cambridgeshire that we think we can help them, and by the end of 2013 we will have 13 corporates we're working with and be able to improve the health of their employees by 13%. Now, this is the start of a discussion across the year, so we ask you to send your questions in. But to kick it off, Thierry, what would you like to say on this? Because I think really where we started with this is the evidence is showing the UK economy is losing £10 to £12 billion a year just down to sickness in the workplace. So what does this mean for you, Thierry, as a health profession?
Well, I'm seeing people privately, and I realise that, of course, people spend 8-10 hours of their day at work, and it can make a big difference if you're happy, if you feel supported, and if you're also a bit in connections with the elements, which I would say at work usually we don't tend to go outside, we don't tend to move, so we are very much withdrawn from the way our body and our mind should work. So we need to make sure we have good sleep, because that's one third of our life, and we need to make sure we have as many good settings at the workplace to enjoy a fulfilling life, otherwise disease will arrive.
Great, yeah, sleep is so important, isn't it, Thierry? What about you, Will, to kick us off? What would you say regards... this discussion is huge, it encompasses so many things, but where would you say to start us is the important thing?
As you say, it is a massive topic. I believe we're fully designed to move as human beings, but we spend so much of our life sitting down in front of computers and desks. I think we need to sort of challenge that problem, get people moving more. I mean, yes, I'm a personal trainer, of course I'm going to say you're going to need to get more exercise, but it's got to be creative, it's got to be something people want to do and fits in with them. Like the famous saying, you can lead a horse to water but you can't make it drink. You want to get people more active, because the more active you are, the more alert you are. I mean, I've worked in an office, and I'm sure many of the listeners will have had the times where you come back from lunch, you've had probably a bit of a big two lunch, you know, and then you just start to fall asleep on your keyboard and you're like, oh, I can't do it. Exercise will help alertness. It's going to make workforces more efficient. So we talk about improving, you know, corporate's efficiency, and where we need to do, we need to find some way to engage the employees, and that could be, it's ask them, get their opinion, what do they want to do, how is it going to be best for a company to engage its workforce and enthuse it, and hopefully that will make them more efficient and get more work out of them.
I mean, I totally agree. I think for me, you know, it's starting with the mindset now and changing people's mindset on how, like Thierry says, we spend most of our time at work. If you're going to spend most of your time at work, you're going to want to enjoy it and get the best out of it. Arm in Cambridge has been in the news in the last couple of weeks, and basically it's being reported that they're trying to set themselves as competitive with their employees by really looking at how they can define themselves as a great employer for their employees, because these employees are skilled and they want to keep them. So we as health professionals very much believe we can help the employers out there, but you have to start redefining people's mindset of how they get health into the work that benefits the people there, rather than just setting out a strategy of, right guys, this is what you're going to do, you're going to spend an hour in lunchtime in the car park doing some star jumps, which is just ridiculous, because nobody's going to spend an hour doing star jumps, yet a couple of people might want to go out for a walk or do some exercise. So what would you say as a starter, Thierry, of how we can start to change this mindset?
Well, it's if you don't mind giving my own experience, because I had this aha moment. I was working before being a health practitioner in a big company in the UK, managing quite a few people, And I was in a workshop organized by HR, the human resources of this company, on trying to, how can we make people happier? Because it was a big issue. And the first question we had, oh, why people work? And we all said, oh, for money, of course. That was the main thing. And then during the workshop, we were led into what is your ideal place of work for yourself? And we realized that money was coming 6 or 7. And the first thing was sense of worth, flexibility, working time, family, work balance, and this kind of thing. That made me realize that actually, yeah, you need to take much more different dimensions. And something that Will had told me once as well when we were talking about work, and so I don't know if you remember, it's about health and happiness is very individual. And it all depends on people. And a company has to realize that they need to bring some flexibility into people, basically. We're not working anymore like a chain factory. We are about creativity. You know, you talk about ARM, which is one leading edge, and they need to respect people so people can be themselves creative and working well.
You mentioned that earlier, Will, didn't you, about the way Google work as a workplace?
Yes, no, I remember seeing a few years ago, actually, there was a big thing in the news talking about Google's workplace is different from anywhere else, and they have like slides to go down from the floors. They've got big cushions where you can go and sit and get your own time. They'd thrown out the traditional method of 9 to 5, sit at a desk. They'd gone, what are we going to do to enthuse our workforce and make it more fun? And following on a little bit what Thierry said, because if you think an employee, the employees at a workforce, they are the lifeblood of the company. They're what make the company work. High up management, yes, they make the decisions, but it's all the little cogs are actually running the machine. And if they're happy little cogs, the company's going to be working better. So I like the idea of Google. They just made it fun. They made people want to get into work. And I think where we relate to this is, what can we add as a health forum that's going to get their employees wanting to come into work?
Definitely. And I think earlier I was doing some research and I was looking online and I was searching for preventative ways in business to, you know, kind of look at health. And what was very interesting is a lot of the search results came up were government search results talking about risk assessment, health and safety assessment. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but I certainly find that when you talk to corporate businesses and HR departments, it's all about how can we protect ourselves from, you know, employee liability. Whereas I think this is really losing the point, and the whole point of what we are trying to achieve here is, let's achieve better health for the employees so they're enjoying themselves, they're achieving what they individually want to achieve, rather than looking at the fact that they are sitting at their desks too long, which is going to cause neck injury, or they're not drinking enough water, which is going to cause dehydration and many other knock-on illnesses. So I mean, what would you guys say about that? How can we challenge this perception of it's all about health and safety risk, as opposed to let's get to the root of the matter, which is finding out how we can find health for each individual person and help the corporates achieve this?
Well, there are two things in my experience. First, the employer has to realize that they have to make that change, they have to make that investment. So, as we say, the top of the company needs to acknowledge that, which can be very difficult for an employee to try to change if this is not happening in their environment. The other thing is about the employee. We talked that health is individual, so they have to take responsibility and ownership. It's a place where they should not expect HR or the company to tell them what to do. And some very, very simple method is to introduce me time into the work. So making sure you have good lunch break where you can actually eat properly and also relax. Have time to think about your work and then give the feedback either to your manager or to your HR about what you would want.
And maybe not just lunch break, which is between 12 till 2 p.m. I mean, lunch break for me might be 10 o'clock in the morning when I just need to get away and get some headspace. Yeah. It's so formal, isn't it? What do you think, Will?
There's a part of me would love the idea of like a company banning their employees from actually sitting at their desk in lunch. You're not allowed to be there from the community. You've got to go and do something. I remember when I was a young boy, I used to go and stay with my gran, who lives up in Scotland, and she'd just be like, right, you're going outside. And she's like, you're not allowed inside. Go outside, go and play, go and have fun. I said, I think maybe we should employ some sort of grandmother figure in companies and go, look, just get away from your desk, do something else, don't look at the internet, you know all the stories on there, go and do something else, get yourself out there, change our perception of work from being something we must do to something we want to do, and that's where the fun element comes in.
I know you do keep harping on about fun, Will, but you are right, because there have been times where if I've got home from work and I'm a bit tired and maybe I have just gone out for half an hour for a walk or just gone to a training session at the gym or whatever, or even just gone and spoken to somebody. You know how some of those days where you're on a train and somebody starts speaking to you, you think, oh, please don't talk to me, I just want to, you know, look out the window. But actually, that 20 minutes just talking to a stranger on a train really invigorates the brain. And you just, you have a really livening conversation and learn so many new facts, and it's the endorphins that you're getting from that new experience. And I know it sounds like, oh, you know, but it really is that case of get yourself up from your desk, even though you don't want to, and go and talk to somebody in the office you've never spoken to before. You might learn something new, make a great connection, even do business while you're doing it. And I think it's that whole redefining the way we look at things. It's not a case there that the rules are there to beat you up, they're there to help you and you do feel better.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I do mention fun a lot because I think it's so important. I think we miss it. I'd also think responsibility is another way of putting it. I remember when I was young, you know, sometimes you go to parties when you're a little kid and you don't want to go, and you're like, Mum, I don't want to go, and then you actually get to the party and have a whale of a time, and it's probably a little bit like what you're saying about the guy on the train. You're like, I don't want to talk to him, but actually you strike up the conversation and actually you come away feeling really energised and fulfilled. And I think it's something we need to do as people. We need to take a bit more responsibility with ourselves and get perhaps a bit more self-discipline and go, hang on a second, I don't want to get stuck in my everyday, I always do the same thing, get out there, basically.
But another thing, Will, I just picked up from what you were saying, I'm sure you weren't meaning to say, but it's the whole thing of need and want. I think if employees are thinking, oh, my employer needs me to do this piece of work, or needs me to get up from my desk because of this new health initiative, it's a case of wanting it. And I think when somebody wants something, they're motivated to do it. And as I say, I'm sure it's just a throwaway way that you were describing it, but if we really look at the way we're talking as individuals, and just from things like if somebody comes up to you and say, how are you feeling today, and you say, oh, not too bad, well, where is the emphasis? The emphasis is on bad. It's our body language, it's the way we talk. Whereas if we really get people to start to look at how they're feeling and their emotions, and whether people can do this in corporates, in teams, and maybe reflect back to each other on, today you're saying this to me, Rachel, is that because you're not feeling too good, are you okay, and really looking at what that person wants to achieve out of the day. And I think working as teams, and do you see what I mean, reflecting back those behaviours to each other, I mean, what would you say, Thierry, how can we get the habits formed with teams with looking at these?
I mean, it's a big question, and there is a cultural element into that. There are some places of work which are designed into fear-based. You will work hard, otherwise you will lose your job, you know. That's maybe a very useful management method, but that may not be good for the point of view of the employee. So obviously, as an employee, if you realize you don't want to be in that place, you need to be part of the change, try to evolve that, and you need to be ready to change place of work if you feel that's actually not the right place. If the workplace, it's very important to understand about cultural change, like belief system for individual, is very, very hard to change because it's very ingrained. So the company has to be willing to change. You mentioned ARM, and I heard of some of their employees that they're actually very great into creating that culture of change, and people work very hard there because they like to actually be part of that change. And very much it has to be required to have some external support. Someone or a group will not be able to do that without the help of a mentor, which can be a personal trainer if we talk about sports, or HR or another group, which will basically facilitate that change. And in the previous company I was telling you where I was working, which was a place where people were not very happy to work, and that's why HR was asking the feedback of the managers on how we could change. I've seen the change in myself and in my colleagues when the company started to put change and make sure that people were free to actually speak and discuss. And we were in a much more positive place. And I remember someone complained because we had a kind of database where people could put feedback. And HR from that date actually decided to remove every negative feedback. They say, and you could say, well, it's against freedom of speech, but at the end of the day, you know, if you're at work and you want to enjoy it in-house, you don't really want to have a moaner, you know, next to you on the train or next to you at the workplace. And that company had to actually actively change and say, if you want to complain, that's fine, but you do it privately. You don't do it to everyone because people want to be happy here. And actually, that was very good.
Just picking up on what Thierry said, I mean, I'm a big rugby fan, and I believe it was under Clive Woodward's time, there was an active policy of not just how good a player was, but what his impact was on the other players. And he would actively not select a player, even if they were playing really well, if he felt they were going to drag other people down. I mean, you must have seen people who perform amazingly, but then, you know, they finish and then it's like, oh, you know, that was tough, or I don't want to do that again. He wanted people who perform really well and then go, that was great, look how good we were, because it pulls other people up around you. So I agree exactly with what Thierry was saying about a company. If you remove that down, that pessimistic element, it's infectious. You know, enthusiasm breeds enthusiasm. And I do think that's a really important point, actually.
I agree, because I think what Thierry was saying, yes, it's all very well, the HR function, you know, kind of putting out a programme that might be useful, but I think everybody needs to take responsibility. And it's not a case of needing to take. I think you should be wanting to take responsibility for whether you actually want to be in that job, and do you want to be in that workplace. And seriously, yes, I do understand it's tough out there and we all need to be in a job, but it's more about choosing to be in that place. And I think once you start choosing to be in that workplace and you want to give back, then you'll be starting to enjoy it more, you'll be a better team member, you'll be more motivated, and you'll be a lot more healthier. So yes, health comes down to maybe getting up and energizing yourself and going to talk to people that you don't know and things like that, and water and nutrition, but it's also making healthy mindset decisions as well. It's a healthy mental approach. And seriously, guys, if you don't want to be there, why are you there? So thanks for that, guys, that was really great.
The Health Forum's top tips.
So now it's the time in the show to have the top health tips. So for this week's discussion, Will, what would you like to say for the top health tip?
Top health tip. Okay, I think for me it's a challenge. Challenge yourself to do as much with your body and as little with mechanical means. So if that's biking to work, brilliant. If that's not taking the lift, using the stairs, great. If that's getting the coffees yourself, making sure you're moving, walking as much as possible. The more you move, the better it's going to be for your body. I think that's quite simple like that.
Brilliant. And Thierry, what would you say is your top tip?
Well, I've been thinking about it this week, and I think actually working, having me time when you eat. So basically, make sure you have a 30-minute lunchtime break, away from your computer, eating fine. And usually I would tell people it's very good to have a starter, you know, the salad and so on, something very light to eat, 10 minutes, because it takes 10 minutes for the digestive system to start. So a lot of people realize actually they are doing very well on 30 minutes, 1 hour of lunch break, and having two or three courses, and that's usually much better to digest.
Is that why you French people go to lunch for 2 hours and have lots of wine? That's really healthy, isn't
it? And I haven't mentioned the coffee at the end to help digest. But
I think that should be mandatory in the workplace.
I have to agree. I think it couldn't think of a better advice from a Frenchman to have a better lunch.
A large glass of red wine, please. And I would just say for this week that my top health tip in the workplace would actually be to take a diary to work with you and have it in front of you, so that maybe if you're starting to feel a bit lethargic in the workplace, or you're maybe suffering from headaches or stress, or there's something in work that's bothering you, it might be maybe, you know, you're not getting on with a work colleague or whatever it might be, just take a diary with you and note a couple of times throughout the day how you're feeling, your emotions, and then look back at it after the end of the first week and just read through it and find there might be certain pointers that might be causing your distress, or maybe you're just not eating enough, or you're not eating the right types of food. So it's always great to write stuff down. And then from that, you will probably be able to find a solution in work if there's something that's maybe bothering you a bit. So that's what I might say that might help people. So that's great, guys. Thanks for the top tips.
You're listening to the Health Forum on Star Radio.
So that's it for this week's show. And a big thank you tonight for the panel, which was the lovely Thierry Clerc. Thank you, Thierry.
Thank you again, Rachel.
And thank you so much to Will Prideaux-Brune.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thanks, guys. Now, if you want to get involved in the Health Forum, you can do so by visiting star107.co.uk, where you can find the podcasted show, plus links to our Facebook and Twitter pages, and then you can ask us all sorts of varieties of questions which we can feed into upcoming shows. But until then, this has been the Health Forum, so thanks for listening.
Star Radio's Health Forum, sharing our experience to help you.